Runoff. It's morning in the lower west where you retreated and seasoned in. And summer heat is a snow slope where you dug out a hibernation cave. You landscaped the arid valley with the rivers passing through. You drove treelineward with the sunroof open to the first rain as birds pummeled at the voices of DJs. Drops leap but not free of the stream, and I shed layers. The sun grazes close and ice is linoleum in the valley. Water magnetized water and the town held you and your orbit became a ceremony of trying to go. Waterborne, on out, anonymous, common. Leave the power lines and wires, leave behind ditches aspiring onward. Aspire, break free. I was the only one going anywhere. Gravel pelted the underbelly of the vehicle. I squinted into brightness and went out from there where you are. Well, thank you so much for coming. Like Tim said, this is readings from Overwinter, which is my first book of poems, published by University of Alaska Press. I just flew in today from Anchorage on the way to Minneapolis for the AWP conference. And it's such an exciting day for me to be able to sort of introduce this book outside of the state for the first time, outside of Alaska, that is, for the first time. I grew up in North Idaho. I was educated at Western Washington University before I moved to Alaska. And I took a brief sort of sojourn there, not so brief, but maybe in the scheme of things, to Missoula to continue that. But Alaska's really been home for about 12 years, and this is the first chance I have to read outside of that place. So thank you for being here, and thanks to the University Bookstore. That was a poem called Runoff. It might be the oldest poem in the book. It definitely comes from the good old Missoula days. Most of the poems are heavily conversant with Alaska and places there, kind of weaving in and out of Alaska. The first poem in the book is called Five Parts and has an epigraph by Nigel Peak that goes, "The land is made from five parts, shelter, mountain, ground, and lake. Shelters here are nothing like barns, nothing like stone huts. The land is made of glacial flour and fossilized rivers. The shelters dissolve back into ground. Mountains deliver water to the lake. The lake is new. It shrinks and grows. The life is made from five parts, shelter, mountain, ground, lake, and ash. Shelter, mountain, ground, lake, and lack. The trees don't line up, the river braids tangle and untangle. Structures of shelter here don't last, our forest and creek bed are gone. Our old foundations, former bridges hollowed into ground. The structures that are shelters now are warmed by fires fed with wood reclaimed from piles of structures that have fallen. Structures of shelter here are drums for rain played to an audience within." Then to now. You fret and ring each minute into being, all catalogued in long lists amid laughter and phone light, the rhymes of friends after sobs, their silent blessings. You slim into a resemblance of tunnels, tree bark, last year's cranberries fermented in the woods by the cemetery. Are you the precise hour you think you are? Do you squander the spoils of your prize fighting? I regret nothing but encounters with you because I left my last family members for landscapes. Loneliness articulating a flock of waxwings hungry for red seedy berries. Are you the gray world or the red berries swallowed into birds? Are you the stark branch charming it on behalf of nighttime? In this rebuilt warehouse storing historic dust, we ate the most recent meal in 10,000 meals. Now the house is skewered by a stovepipe. Now the blanched flowers fold every petal tight. We battered dandelion heads, ate them. Today, a green inchworm, inching, inched along my stitched arm. A lot of these poems were written in a series of little cabins or shacks, locally called hooches. Not sure why that word is made. I think it might date back to Vietnam. Somebody mentioned. I'm not sure. I need to figure out the etymology of the word hooch as applied to a little wooden shack that you might sleep in for a season. But a lot of these poems were written in various sorts of structures in like that in a place called McCarthy, which is my summer home. In the middle of Wrangell St. Elias National Park and Preserve in eastern Alaska. It's a park that is the largest national park in the U.S. It's about 23% the size of Switzerland, and along with three other national parks, two in Canada, that abut it. Together they form a World Heritage Site, which is the largest protected wilderness area of its kind in the world. And so a lot of the places that you hear in the poems are from throughout that region, especially the Kennecott Valley there around McCarthy. Reasons for a long stay. Know that others wrestle with the truncation of the home's compass. Know they calibrate their compass needle into the declinating metals of one another and be the reefs of their could-be calamities, charted on a sheet of graph paper. Tease sound out of a habit of winter listening and stroke a stuffed owl's beak. Register the ascending synthesizer of a Swainson's thrush and stay carelessly asleep. To quiet down out on the deck, full night ablaze, bulbous moon insignificant, drink and speak to strangers. Imagine a cobweb relating air temperature, flood threat, distance from home, duration of camaraderie. Deciding, derided, fall to sleep, reading by handheld light. The book is definitely a collection. It's not, you know, it's not a project. It's not a single long work. It's certainly a collection of poems written over time. Some, you know, dating all the way back to Missoula during grad school, and many more recently. Even the Missoula poems, I would say, were mostly written having just, you know, sort of dislocated myself out of Alaska to go to MFA school. And a lot of them, like I say, were written since. But it wasn't until I was trying to assemble this sort of disparate, you know, pile upon pile upon pile of poems, and of holes, it turned out too, into a manuscript that I realized how much water there is in the book. There's so much water in all its forms, glaciers, rivers, streams, etc. Even like words, even the way, you know, you don't even realize that you have some obsession with, you know, a weird word that turns into like 20 of your poems. Sometimes you're just the last to clue in on things like that. And finally sort of starting to share around a manuscript with friends, like, man, this is such a watery book. I just had no idea. Antidote. A creek cures quiet. Slurs out the unsounding day of pursed lips, leads by example, barrels without straining, stresses what sickens into it, slats the plaited bluff, rests birches into itself, rockfall clatter subliminal beneath birds calling out their spring needs. Creek makes a good fence, better than stone piles, centuries afield, bones of fish, wood piles, lichen one day wrapping a cairn into place. Silence at a creek is day long, days long, swollen and uncrossable. A creek can make a good fence, neighbor to nothing, grumbling in darkness through which its erosion and clatter is just audible, trees toppling over the steep bluff into water. A creek thickened into one channel tries to braid itself, is a torrent that seeks to shallow and calm itself beside me living here, unfenced, the leaves patching away the sky and weather, the nature of this tin roof amplifying rainfall as leaves grown just since middle May amplify winds and muddle the water's murmur.